He missed it. You say, I don't believe he could have done it. Well, why not? Samson, with the jawbone of an ass, killed 1,000 of them. And I send you, I come to your house and I give you the keys. I give you the deed, the bill of sale, the license, the title. But the car's over at my house. Question, do you own a car? Yep. Legal. Do you have the car? Nope. You say, well, it didn't do me any good. Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. If I bought you that car today and put that deed and that all that material in your hand and everything, whoo, you'd go to bed tonight. I mean, you'd be one pumped up sucker. So, no, you don't actually have to have in your hand if the character of the one that has promised you this and given you these trinkets of what's coming, if his character is worth believing and trusting. You got me? Now, if I tell you that, and I've been a drunk and a liar and a druggie, and and I've been an adulterer and all this stuff, I mean, I've been a con man all my life, you don't know if you go to bed at night, you don't know if you got a car or not. That's my old set of keys. And I found that title in a garbage can. And you don't know what you got. You see what I'm getting at? See, when we accept Jesus, we are justified. This is so important. Some of you are looking so funny. I can tell you're not sure, so we better look at Romans 5. I wasn't going to do this one, but we better jump on it real quickly. Romans chapter 5, very, very rapidly. Verse 8, but God demonstrated his love toward us. How? In that while we were yet sinners, not after we got good enough, not after we got our act together, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Plural. How much more then, being now justified by his blood? See, his blood justified us. In other words, it was a legal thing. The judge of the universe said the wages of sin is death. Okay? So something has been done that meets the requirements of justice. We have been justified, how? By his blood. Now, listen. The blood of Jesus, as I've told you before, didn't do it all. It didn't finish it. There's more than that. Because atonement is a thing of blood and water. Watch it. It says, we are now justified. How many of you noticed the word now? Now, now, now. See, that's what happened when you accepted Jesus. You were now justified. On what basis? His blood shed on the cross. Got it? Got it. Okay, Floyd, I got that part. I understand that part, and I always believe that part. It's that other part I'm shaking on. Oh, no, you're not. Look. We shall be saved from wrath. See, since I now am justified, I shall be. Come on, where's Sister Dole? There she is. English teacher. Any other English majors in here? There, Tom's an English major. Julie, you were an English major. 3, shall be. Remember, what tense? Future. Since we now are justified, in the future we'll be saved from wrath. Right. When hell comes by, I won't be there. Okay? Got it? But look at him say it again. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How? By the death of his son. How much more being reconciled? Watch. We shall be saved. How? By his life. Look, his blood justified us. But it's his life that gives us eternal life. That's what, listen, I'm trying to show you why the resurrection was so important. It's his life that is our resurrection life. We shall be saved for the throne of God by his life. Have you got it? Now, if you believe that, technically, are you saved? Technically, no. That's future. Practically, though, are you? Mm-hmm. Why? Because he said so. Now that you're justified, you shall be saved. Got me? So, that's why we sing it over at the Baptist church and we talk about it. Saved, saved, saved. 3 saves. I'm in the process of, I'm in the process of being saved. I shall be saved. I'm saved. Because once this thing gets going, it doesn't stop till you get the car. In other words, The one, we can trust the one who tells us, since you're now justified, you shall be saved. And he also says, you shall be saved by his life. I hate to get so technical, but every now and then you guys need a little of that. Because we're dealing with a subject tonight that technically fits the same way. And it scares the church. And the church argues and fights and we love each other pitifully. Now, point. Let's come back to the point. Point. So let's talk about salvation. See, let's show you that salvation isn't what you thought it was. Okay? See, you're thinking, well, now the minute I accepted Jesus in faith, I get everything. No, you get justified. You still got a smelly old sin nature hanging around. Now, the good news is you got a new nature, but the problem is the two of them are at war, and that's what Paul found out in Romans 7. See, he became a schizophrenic, a spiritual schizophrenic. He wasn't a schizophrenic before he got born again. His old sin nature tempted him to sin. He did it. He gave in every time. No problem. Oh, he had some morals. I mean, he was raised a Pharisee. I mean, he might look good on the outside of the cup, but the inside of the cup was bad. You said, but I did get everything when I got born again. Oh, gosh, I know all kind of promises in the Bible, and I don't see you with them. I found promises where he'll dry up our tears and there'll be no more tears. I don't think you've gotten there yet. I'd say there's something, hey, that's in your inheritance that you hadn't got in your hand. The car's over at the boss's house in the driveway. You hear what I'm saying to you? You've got new bodies coming to you, and I'm glad. Mine is wearing out badly. But see, practically, it isn't doing me any good at the moment because I'm dying. I'm aging. And everything on me is going to pot rapidly. Hair's getting thinner, grayer, eyes are getting worse. Look, trifocals now. This year we're to trifocals, okay? You know, look at that miserable finger. That is pitiful. I'm locked at the joint. It's a wonder I can do anything. You see those front four teeth up there? See what a pretty smile it is? They aren't mine. And that's the upper. Look, that's just from here up. From there down, it's worse. Yet in my inheritance, God has promised me a new tabernacle, a new tent that my spirit and soul can live in, that never gets sick, never ages, doesn't get tired, has no real physical need. Now, you can claim it till you turn blue, but it's over in the driveway. You can't have it yet. So what I'm trying to get you all focused on is there are a lot of things that are part of our inheritance insofar as salvation is concerned that you simply cannot possess tonight. Yet, none of you seem to be so concerned about it because it's a spiritual matter. And it's funny how we are, Ken, about spiritual things. We just kind of, it's almost like it isn't even real to us. Sure, I trust God for that. Yeah, but that job. Now, that's real. You hear what I'm saying? So, see, now we get all uptight about our job or some problem with our children or our wife or our husband or our mothers or our fathers. You know, things that we could smell, taste, and touch, these are serious. See, we trust God for our eternity and our immortal soul. But I want money in the bank account. So I can go to sleep tonight. See, do you see that we're trusting in old Ben Franklin and Andrew Jackson and George Washington now? You hear what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to get you to see is, see, first of all, let me let you think on this one too. See, first of all, being sick may well be a discipline from God due to some sin. And the time of the discipline period may not yet be over. You did that with your kids, and your mother and father did that with you. Son, go to your room for 1 hour. Now, this is after you repented. This is after you owned up to it and were sorry. See, but they made you do that to put it in your mind so that you didn't forget next time, that it would be, so that this would be more of a deterrent to protect you from yourself. But you see, such an application really wouldn't fit for salvation. I'm trying to show you a difference where healing could have an application totally different from salvation. See, being lost is not really directly a discipline for an individual. It's a discipline on Adam, if you please. But it's not really... See, we were born lost. Man, done a jolly thing. I mean, man, when that egg and that sperm met, I was already in trouble. I don't care if the abortionists don't know that. The only thing that had me covered up until, you know, for a few years was covenant. Jesus had was going to take me, and what would carry me to heaven would be that my sin nature had been dealt with by Jesus on the cross, such that, as we learned a few weeks ago, David could say that his child was not coming back to him, but that small child, someday David was going to go to. Well, we know where David went when he died. Put it another way, if David didn't go to heaven, leave and go out and get drunk and chase Mary, and you know, because we're all doomed. You know, I mean, if you're still having trouble trying to figure out whether David made it or not, I don't know what to do. You know, I'm almost without recourse. So I'm trying to show you that. See, in that case, immediate relief is offered through faith in Jesus Christ for the lost. That's relief, but it didn't. But it's relief. But guess what happens with all that relief? Well, you can become rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, despised, not well esteemed. All that good stuff. Now, that's not your inheritance. That's part of what you go through till you get your inheritance. In other words, hear me another way. See, the faith teachers have just taken it out of context so badly, everything. See, you really are. You really are heirs of a billionaire. You really are. Your father owns everything. And I will forget one time hearing John Bassanio say how he got on the airplane with the guy. And he opened up the Wall Street Journal. And John just decided to do it. And he says, I see where Continental stock went up. He said, because he saw the guy's eyes were fixed right on the article. He said, do you have any? And the guy said, yes. He says, how do you like Continental? The guy said, I love it. John says, I'm glad to hear that. My father owns Continental. And the guy just kind of glanced at him. And John just watched the guy look, and he looked over here at some other stock. And John says, have you got any of that? The guy said, yeah. He says, how you like that stock? It's doing good, making me money. I'm glad to hear it. My daddy owns that company too. By the time John had done that to him about one more time, the guy just absolutely nonplussed, just closes the Wall Street Journal and lets out an explanative, which I can't repeat. You know, well, just who in the is your father anyway? What's his name? And John said, I thought you'd never ask. And told him who really ran the stock market. Oh, and he told him to beware that Daddy may be thinking about closing the market down. So what I'm trying to get you all to focus on is to see and to focus on the concept, the thought, beloved, that there really are things that you don't have when you're born again. You don't have, but they're in the will. Okay? They're in the will. But the problem is the will has a date set on it. You know, hey, you say, I don't understand that. Sure you do. I know a lot of people leave wills and they leave everything to their son to inherit when he's 21. You got, yeah, that's it. See, the problem is we want it now. God says, nope. You got to wait till you're 21. You say, I'm 21. Not the way he has in mind. You see what I'm getting at? And so there are some subtle differences. And so what I'm getting at is there's differences between healing and salvation. They are not absolutely interchangeable. And so what happens is quite often we get into trouble with the doctrine because we begin with a false assumption and use poor logic and taking scriptures out of context, all of a sudden we do arrive at the conclusion, well, if I get saved as soon as I accept Jesus by faith, then I must be healed as soon as I accept Jesus by faith. And see, and then when it doesn't work, well, where do you go from there? Well, golly, maybe I didn't even get saved when I accepted Jesus by faith. Maybe my sins really aren't wiped out, and now you're in a quandary. And that quandary is what's wiping out so many charismatics. So what they do is, rather than going to the Bible and trying to see what went wrong and how they got off the track, then the teachers began to develop new, more far-out doctrines to keep the wheel oiled. And that's where you guys get sucked into the vortex. I want you to understand that as I'm telling you this tonight, let's look at 1 Peter, because that's one of the favorite ones. Well, let's look and see what Peter had to say about it. Up here on our view graph, our overhead, 1 Peter 2:24. It's a lovely verse. I believe it. Speaking of Jesus, said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And boy, they jump on that and say, whoo, look at the tense of were. Were, past tense. You were. Right. Because Peter is talking after the cross, back to what happened on the cross. So naturally, he's talking in the past. For, and there's the key word, for. See, for is going to make sure we understand the context of what we just read. For. For goes back to what was just said. You were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Let's look at the context if we dare. In other words, listen to me. There's tons of scriptures in the Bible that teach that God heals and will heal. We don't have to lie about verses that aren't teaching on it. Let's look at the context of Peter 2:24. What's the subject? He bore our sins on the cross. We were dead to sins. By his stripes you were healed. What kind of healing is this talking about, beloved? Spiritual or physical? Look, you say, well, I'm not sure. I want to believe it's physical. Sorry. The word for, make sure you can't miss it. See, the word healed is there, but the Bible teaches both physical and spiritual healing. Where does it say anything, Brother Floyd, about spiritual healing? Lots of places. I'm only going to give you one. It's right on the view graph. Psalm 41:4. Heal. There it is, the word heal. My soul, for I have sinned against thee. Is David talking about getting well from a bad cold, the flu, appendicitis, broken arm? Or is he talking about sin and he needs a spiritual healing? You can see immediately the context. Well, that's the point. 1 Peter's talking about sin, sin healing also. For you were as sheep, what? Going astray. But now you return to the bishop of your souls. Got it? So if we're really honest, and see, listen, if you want something from God, you've got to come for honesty. You've got to come to a point of integrity. We just can't twist scriptures to fit anything we want. Now, people do it, and what happens is, when it doesn't work, they become disenchanted, they become confused, confounded, and then they want to throw up their hands and give up. But we don't have to throw up our hands and give up just because we have a doctrinal problem. You hear what I'm saying? God will give us the grace to get through this doctrinal problem. Now, I want to deal with the fact, as I told you before, that we notice in comparing our Isaiah and Matthew 8, that here it says, in Isaiah, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. But Matthew phrased it, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. All right? Well, you have the right to ask me, well, Floyd, how do we do that? Well, it should be obvious then that it's... Before I do that, remember I told you, I want to give you an example, a biblical example of what I mentioned a while ago, that the time of the discipline might not be over yet. Remember? Sick in a sickness... The time, it may be due to some sin. Not always. Don't get that. All sickness is related to sin. But not to a specific sin necessarily. In other words, if you didn't have a sin nature, you wouldn't even be susceptible. Because of Adam, sin is in the world. We are susceptible to disease. Sometimes it comes from sin. It can even be the sin of pride. I remember one time I got sick due to the sin of pride. What sin? It was dead winter. It was cold, and I wanted to show everybody how tough I was. And I stripped off and ran and jumped in this lake and swam across it. And I got the worst case of flu. And it was pride. You know, it's pride. Now, a good case, though, of where sin causes sickness and God forgives, but the time element isn't dealt with yet, is in the book of Exodus, for example. An excellent example, in Numbers, in the book of Numbers, chapter 12. Miriam was chiding Moses, attacking his position of authority that God had given him, and God smote her with leprosy. And Moses interceded on her behalf. He didn't pull, you know, you got yours. He interceded, and God said, if her father had just spit in her face, she'd be ashamed. I.e., how much more she ought to be ashamed for upbraiding you, who I have chosen to lead my people. And he said, for one week, in other words, she was forgiven, and you could have gone through any ritual you wanted. You could have offered up any animals you wanted. You could have held your breath. You could have claimed any verse you wanted on the fifth day. And Miriam wasn't going to get better. Why did God do that? Her offense was very serious. God didn't want to ever have to do that to her again. Right? Come on now. We've had children, most of us in here. See, when you really have to lay it on, when you really have to nail them, you want it to be such that you never have to do it that bad again because you love them. So sometimes you have to really lay down the law and really deal with it the first time, hoping there'll never be a second time. And sure enough, I found in my life that, Pat, that the longer and the more severe the judgment, the punishment, the discipline. Boy, I tell you, I remember one time I got a spanking with a belt. And it was to the point that when he went to that closet and just reached for the belt to put it on, I remembered. Instantly when I saw his hand go in there, I started thinking, what'd I do? What'd I do? And what a relief to see it go in the loophole. And I thought, whew, nothing. In other words, Dad had gotten the point over. You say, well, what a brute. No, I stole and I lied. Not only that, I stole from one of my best friends. I was 6. And let me tell you, I didn't steal again. Because he wanted to deal with it when I was 6, so that when I was 18, he didn't have to go down to jail and get me out. He got the point over, too. I got the point that if I stole, someone, somewhere, was going to bring out a big belt. Belts come in all forms, don't they? You know what I mean? There's all kind of belts. All right. Now, so Miriam was an example, see, of a situation where the sickness is a discipline from God for some sin, and the time of the discipline wasn't over yet. I'm not trying to, just give you 500 examples and thoroughly document this. We'd be here. I could be teaching on this thing all week long, believe me. A 3-hour session in the morning, a 3-hour session in the afternoon, a 3-hour session at night, and we could do it for a whole week if we want to totally exhaust. I'm trying to move through this where you can get the big picture and see it. All right, what we learn here from seeing that Matthew is not a direct quote of Isaiah. See, an author may take liberty with his own work and freely quote his own work and put a different shade of meaning on his own work. Why? Because the author knows his original intent and all that it entails. Well, the Holy Spirit's the author. And when the Holy Spirit gave Isaiah, he knew that those Hebrew words had more than one shade of meaning. But he was very content to leave it as it was in the Old Testament, because the point he was driving home was the Messiah will take care of sin through the atonement. That's the good news, not, whee, I can be healed. You know why that isn't such good news? Because you're just going to turn around and die later anyway. I mean, not bad news. Come on. If you're really sick, like this brother we prayed for with cancer, if you're really sick, and he's already seen his dad-in-law and his dad die of it. See, when you're really sick, you're hurting, and relief is good. Here's Dr. Doyle back here. We're not knocking. Now, let me say something. Look, Peter is very clear that he is teaching on sin. It's sickness of the soul that he's dealing with. Does this mean Peter doesn't believe in divine healing? Not at all. Neither does it mean that I don't. But the point is, we got to come to the place where, because you may as well anyway, because God's going to do it His way anyway, to where we're comfortable with praying for the sick, and if they get better, glory, and if they die, glory. You listen to me. If your mother or your husband or your wife or your child dies this week, for you, I am deeply sorry. I have no sorrow for them if they're Christians. And moreover, only I'm sorry for you. It is your great loss. And it is, Willie. But it is not loss for them. Put it another way, they don't want a doctor now. You hear what I'm saying to you? All right. So, what has happened here is the Holy Spirit has enlarged His meaning to be more inclusive, which those words always did take in. He's the author. Now He is giving us the full, blown-up intent of what He always knew to be true. In other words, He didn't change intent. It's always been His intent. Always been His intent. Now with that, let me say this to you quickly. There were those in the Old Testament. See, okay, here, now, let me introduce you to where we're going. I've got a thought, and I'm going to throw it out, and then we're going to follow up on it. See, we're following through on Hebrews 13:8, a wonderful verse. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah, but see, that's fine verse. It's a wonderful verse. It's a true verse. But what are you trying? You know, what are some of us trying to do with that verse? I'll tell you what some of us are trying to do with it. We're trying to beat God in the head with His own verse. And you just can't do that. That's like, listen, that's like some of my children used to take things I said out of context and try and make me do what they wanted me to do when that wasn't what I ever meant in the first place. And guess what? They didn't win. And we're not going to win with God when we do the same thing. All right. The point I'm getting at is, all right, let's go back into the Old Testament and see how Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever works. It works, but let's see how it works. In the wilderness journey, there were those that got healed in the wilderness journey. For instance, a bunch of them got snake bitten. And the Lord had Moses make and hold up, as you recall, a brass serpent on a pole.